Come on, man. I knew he would do something. Oh, Ron. So we're going to do our best not to fall asleep this morning. I'm so tired. Emily, are you tired? I had to be up at 7 o'clock yesterday. We had to go move 75 ladders from the week. So I don't want to hear about it, Emily. So we had a fantastic week. I had no time to prepare for an Amos sermon, as you might imagine. Hopefully you're paying attention to Dalton's reading, though, because it comes from the very end of Amos. And the reason I wanted to kind of focus on Amos during this month is I want us to think a little more critically about the prophetic literature. If you were in our Sunday school class this past month or two, as we kind of finished up our kind of overview of the Old Testament, we spent a lot of time in the prophets. And we talked about how we just don't really spend a lot of time in the prophets. They're pretty foreign to us, especially the minor prophets. And so we looked at Jeremiah last month, and then this month we kind of turned our attention to Amos. And throughout the book of Amos, and really most of the minor prophets, really all of them, I suppose, there's this sense of renewal and of restoration, of the idea that things are going to get better. And it's not always like progress, like, hey, things are going to get better, but at some point God is going to kind of step in and change things. And my understanding of the Bible is that Christians are to live as though that's taking place. And not only is that taking place, but we have a role in that. And that's one of the reasons why I think that Work Camp is such a powerful thing. Because in it's a visible and visual way of us saying, this is what we're about as people. These are the kinds of things that we think are important, that we go out of our way to serve people that we don't know. And as I talked about last week, it's not as though we're serving the pagans. A lot of these folks that we serve are Christians too. We're helping our brothers and sisters out. But maybe more significant, at least for this week every year, is we go to places we don't ordinarily go to, a lot of us. And so what I did this morning, Deb, if you want to go ahead, we're just going to kind of walk through before and after pictures and kind of give everybody a little sense of what we were about this week. I didn't get all of them because it was hard to get all 12 before and after and all the kind of things that we were trying to do this week. But wanted to just kind of walk through them and talk a little bit about some of the stories from the week, and then give all our teens and adults an opportunity to maybe share from their week. One of the things that I think is so dynamic about things like this is it gives you stories to tell. And sometimes you laugh, and sometimes you get a little misty-eyed thinking about them. But I think most of us realize, and I know I've said this a lot of times before, most of our lives, we just kind of, we get up, we do our thing, we go to bed the next day, and nothing real, anything out of the unusual happens, that we just kind of live. And I think that a lot of times what's happening is we're just kind of passing by life, and we're passing by opportunities that how many times have you done that? You've actually acted on an impulse to talk to somebody that maybe you were not sure about doing it. Maybe you're a little more introverted and you didn't really want to kind of throw yourself out there. And then the next thing you know, your life is different. Not dramatically, maybe, very often, but just it's different. You meet new people. You're introduced to something completely new, or whatever it might be. And that's really what we all did this past week. So go ahead, Deb. We'll just kind of walk through these. I don't know a better way to do this. So if you want to advance the slide, I think they just go up and down. The arrow keys, I believe. Gary Brown put that slide together. It's pretty nice. Nice slide. So, how many of you, first of all, while we're getting this to work, instead of just staring at it, I want to just take the time to thank and draw your attention to a few folks. Chris Cole is getting up to walk, and Kristen and Dave and Val. Is there any adults that were there all week? I know there was a lot of people helping with lunches and stuff, but I think those are the ones that gave up their entire week to just be there. Are you guys tired still, Dave? Dave's like, no. He's like, I work for a living. I'm not a preacher. I'm not tired. I do this all the time. But, you know, it's never lost on me that folks, you know, and I know Dave took vacation week, Chris took vacation week. Val came out of retirement for a week. Come help out. But you know, I realize it is such a big deal to do this. And there's so many people that that have helped out over the course of the week in so many different ways. A lot of you were helping with lunches. How many of you help with lunches? Raise your hand high. There was a lot of you here, 4 or 5 of you here, and then Mary Beth did as well. All the teens helped eat the lunches, right? Hey, there we go. All right, so we're going to go backwards through the houses, and I want to try to draw your attention, and I try to draw attention to who was on the sites and any kind of stories that came along. This is Mr. Underwood. He lives very close to our tool library, which was a partnership that we've really nurtured over the last couple of years. We get all of our ladders from there. And I want to try to draw your attention to the realities of the week that we had. I was on my way to the tool library, which is about a half mile from this house. I don't think anybody here was on this house, were they? Yeah, Micah's house. So I was coming up Fifth Avenue off of 670, and I pass a carryout, which is across the street from the tool library, and there are 8 cop cars in the parking lot and 2 news stations. So I knew that something had happened. There was a shooting in the middle of the day, I think at about 11 o'clock, Wednesday or Thursday morning, that close to where we were at. Mr. Underwood is the guy I mentioned last week who is blind from glaucoma, and he's very quiet. He kind of kept to himself, and Micah, the preacher from Kokomo, was on his house, and he got to talk to him a little bit. We found out that his wife had passed away, and he was diagnosed with glaucoma all within a few years of each other, about 10 years ago. And so it's kind of understandable. He just kind of kept to himself. And we actually had to stage the ladders at their house on Friday, and so I knocked on his door. They had already finished the house. Go to the next slide, Deb. Let's look at the finished product there. I think there's a couple more pictures of them. If you want to go, we'll look at the around the pictures too. There's the side. This was, I think, the most dramatic. Go to the next one, all wrapped up. They did such a great job. Try one more. I think there might be one more up there. Yeah, there's the back of the house. It was funny. That picture was like a month ago. When we got there, it was all grown up. So go ahead, after shot there. So they really did a nice job with this house. I think, go to the next one. I think there's a picture of them up there. Oh, okay, that one. There's the other side. Next one there. And then I think the last one has them. So yeah, all of them are, I think the oldest one was in 7th or 8th grade. And there's Mr. Underwood in the middle. But I stopped by on Friday to just make sure we could drop the ladders and kind of see how his experience went. And he speaks with a little bit of a stutter, and like I said, he can't see. And so I wasn't really sure. He was kind of quiet. But he told me, he said, "Hey, I just want to tell you that, you know, I live here by myself, and it's nice to have some kids with me for the week." So it was just a nice moment to realize the impact that you have. We went to pick the ladders up yesterday morning, and some guy came across the street and told us somebody was trying to steal them the night before. Dion and I were like, "Dude, if you want these ladders," there were like 50 ladders with like 8 locks and chains on them. I'm like, "If you work that hard to get a ladder." So I think they just pulled one and like gave up. So, but yeah, these are kind of our future big paint jobbers. They kind of got introduced to this easy one. So that was a great house to be on. The next one is Dave and Jennifer. I only got a couple of your pictures. So they were all the way on the west side. One of the things that I kind of came to conclude this week is just how big Columbus is. Like, we're in a big city. I mean, it sounds silly to say, but you think the more familiar you become with, I mean, I know more about the town than I ever did when we started this, but there are just houses and neighborhoods everywhere. This was all the way out on the west side in the Hilltop area. So you had a long drive every day right out there. So Dave, Jennifer, who else? Was anybody else from here on that crew? Pretty good mix of people from all over. So the after pictures are dramatic. And I think there's one more, Deb, if you want to flip over that one. That's the before, and go ahead, the next one. So I love the colors. It turned out great. We put the artist on a house that was kind of particular. So that worked out great. You guys have any great stories from the week, Dave? They were with Tanya, right? Your name was Tanya. Nobody got stung. Very good. So yeah, we did. I felt bad because they were way out, kind of away from everybody, so we didn't spend much time with them. This house looks familiar to a couple people, right? Who was on this one? Clark and Emily. This is their first house they've ever painted. It was down in Duxbury. So you might have heard about the police officer that shot a man and killed a man this week. That was a block and a half from this house. So that happened, and so we had to meet with the leaders one night. That was about about 2 hours after we left, by the way. So we met with all the adults and said, hey, just to let you know, we've already gone over how important it is to be safe, but things really do happen. This is Miss Madison's house. Emily, Clark, you got anything to say about this house? Hey, Clark, look, there's the after picture. You can't even see the paint you spilled on the roof. Can't even see it. So it's kind of the same color. It's a little bit different. I think there's one or two more dim. There's the back of the house. Of the next slide, this is the after. This one, too, they showed up the first day, and I know Greg knows this, like all the weeds in the city grew like in 2 weeks. Like we had gone, we didn't even mention that you might have to do some yard work, and they're like, you couldn't even see that bottom cinder block. You couldn't even see it down there because it had grown up so much. So they went and showed up a day. I just maybe one more, Deb. That was before. And go ahead, one more. This is the after of the awning. So a really dramatic difference on the awning. They did a great job. This one had a lot of younger kids, too. I think their homeowners up here, the next slide, too. Yeah, there they are with all their group. So a couple of our own painting that house. They did a great job. Clark, you got no, Emily, got no stories from your week? Nope. This Madison kind of kept to herself. They didn't hang out with her too much. So then just down the road, Kristen, I only got one of you guys. This was Uncle Moose's house, one of the coolest guys that we've ever been able to work with. So Kristen, you and Ben Ballard was with you too, right? So yeah, it's kind of hard to see him from all the way up there. But that looked great, and you can't even see the fence over to the right they painted. And went over Friday and did some yard work and got them all cleaned up. Now, I talked to Uncle Moose. The shooting was between these two houses, almost exactly a block and a half, 2 blocks from them. So I was talking to Uncle Moose about that, and he said, yeah, we were out in the garage and heard the shots. So imagine these homeowners who have that to going on in their lives. And then on the same token, 10 people show up to paint their house for a week. Just imagine, especially when there are a lot of young people, that's the thing that everybody takes away, whether it's the homeowners or the neighbors. You know, they're like, it's just so endearing and refreshing to see young people who are working hard and doing those things. I'm pretty sure we received more attention just in general this year than we ever have before. Just people everywhere were just drawn to what was going on in these houses. Go to the next one, Deb. This was Mertice Monroe. Anybody on this? I don't remember if anybody. What's that? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't want to talk to you. Kristen, yeah, you got some good stories. I just skipped right over you. Sorry. Tell me some stories about Uncle Moose in your house over there. He's having some vision issues too. There was part of his house that they couldn't get to unless they went through the house. So they were in and out of his house all week. Thank you. Yeah, sorry, I was running around trying to get them done real quick this morning. Didn't get all of them. But yeah, that house is dramatically different because it had so much. And he gave us a Jaguar. So if anybody wants a Jaguar to sit down in his yard, it runs. It just needs to charge the battery, apparently. So we were told. So yeah, that was a great experience. And he was kind of an interesting side note. He had a lady friend staying with him. She goes to the Schrader Lane Church of Christ in Nashville. Absolutely. So the pictures up here are of the next house, Mertice Monroe. She lives on the east side. Pretty drastically different. Go ahead, Deb. She went from green to a light purple. So Dave Love helped rebuild that porch. It was kind of stooping down. So he got that put back up and replaced the boards. And go ahead, the next one. I think there might be one more. Yeah, there's the back of it. We're talking to Marti. She goes to a church over on the east side, and she's real interested in getting her we're going to meet with this pastor and see about maybe getting some of their kids to participate in work camp next year. She was just super excited about it, and so glad to have, again, what Kristen said, just have some young people that you could be excited about and encourage. So Carhoff, does this look familiar? So this is the one Greg went over and tried to slowly tame a little bit. So it was pretty dramatic when it was all done. Not crazy about the color she picked, but that's what she wanted. So that was, I only got two pictures of this one. That one, and then go to the back side there, Deb, the next one. There's that one. Pretty dramatically. So Claire was on this one, right? Claire, is there anybody else here? I think she was with Perry Brown from Reynoldsburg. Got any stories from the week? Yeah, Perry did this one by himself, and somehow Claire managed to not misbehave too much, right? You did all right. So how was your crew? Do you have any stories from your crew? Yeah, she actually, Rita, Miss Rita, she didn't have running water all week. Something was out with her pump. I didn't fully understand it. Greg, were you the one that found out about the possum, or was that group Perry? It must have been Perry. If there was a possum that had gotten down their basement and died, and somehow clogged the, I don't know, I didn't ask too many questions. I didn't really want to know too much about it. But yeah, that house really, really needed a lot of work. And she actually, she had met me, but she hadn't met Dion, and we went to pick the ladders up on Thursday, and she saw Dion, but she didn't see me, and she just yelled out, "Hey, get out of those ladders, those aren't your ladders, I'm going to call the police." So I ran over and I said, "It's just us, it's just me. I got somebody I want you to meet." And she was hilarious. She wasn't getting up from her chair, like she was just yelling out the door. It was pretty funny. But she, I mean, when I was getting ready to leave, she was like, "Man, you guys, I still can't believe you guys do this. I know my family would help me out like this." And so it was really neat to be able to help her out. She's a real sweet lady. Interesting, you know, folks you meet along the way. She's the one I mentioned last week. She had two kids that had been murdered, and she lived a tough life. And so this was just a breath of fresh air for her, and she had some little kids, great-grandkids that were there too. So very, very good. Chris, where's Chris? Oh. That's right, this is the one you went to, okay. Hey, you guys got to hang out with those guys pretty much. They were kind of in and out all week, weren't they? So, Logan, what are their names? Was anybody, one of the other kids there too? Yeah, Logan and Haley. So, you know, a lot of times, if there's kids in the neighborhoods, they're not doing anything. And a lot of times, I drive through, there's kids everywhere, there's no adults anywhere, and so they'll get connected with us sometimes, which is really neat. So, it's exciting when we're able to do that. So, yeah, go back to that slide, the previous one real quick. This was a house. Ethel, this is really close to your house. I realized when I was down there. How far are you from Edina? Are you like a couple roads over, right? You're pretty close to it, yeah. So this is, and the neighborhood is really nice, and then there's this one house, and they had a citation against it. This is the before picture. It was in real bad shape, and you can see how dramatic, I think it's just those two pictures. It was just a dramatic change. And we talked to the homeowner a little bit, but her son was a little bit more talkative, and actually, I was trying to get away from him because he wouldn't stop talking one day, and I was picking up ladders. Tony was on that house, and he got a chance to talk to him and just get to know him a little bit and find out about their lives. Was anybody else on this one from Dalton? That's right. They named Kevin. Why'd they call you Kevin Dalton? It'll just look like, yeah. What you got? I'm sure you have something to say for your week, Dalton. That's right, he didn't really come out, but he was in the window all the time. Because he was looking at you like, I know this kid from somewhere. You're like, I've seen this kid from somewhere. So they did a good job. You guys got done Thursday, I think, didn't you? Anything else, Dalton? Just good experience, right? Probably talking to you specifically. Hey, kid, would you be quiet? So, yeah, it was a great house that really, really needed a lot of work, and so they did a good job of getting that taken care of. I want to stop, though, because, Chris, I don't have any pictures of your house, so tell us about your house, Miss Evangeline Woods, just south of Livingston Avenue. When I first met, she was one that when we first met, she was really, really, understandably so, reluctant to talk to us or anything, and she would kind of open the door and just poke her head through, and it's amazing to see how drastically our relationship. I mean, she was out every day, wasn't she? And then we've learned that she lives with her twin sister, who has cerebral palsy, and she takes care of her, and so she's kind of tied up with her all the time, and. She's just a fantastic lady. I think she has a little bit of crush on me, and I kind of have a crush on her too. But she's just I went there twice, and both times they were all gone, so it was just me and her talking. But just a wonderful woman of God, and she was going back to her home. She's from, where is she? Conshocton, I think. Conshocton is where she's from. She was going back to her home church this weekend to do some work, and she said, I just want to give back like you guys are giving to us. And yeah, unfortunately, we don't have any pictures because it was a great before and after, and that was the one. Lacey was on that one. Anybody, I think it was Lacey and her friend Lauren. So this was a house that Val was on. You have any? I think you're the only Allen Creeker that was over there. So this is the Shivingtons, just over in Westerville. And this was a really, really great story. Gary Purcell from Kokomo was leading with Val, and he did a lot of work to kind of help. There's just some disrepair in the house that really needed to be addressed. Go to the next one, Deb. So this was probably the most dramatic here on the porch. They just brightened it all up, got it all cleaned up. Gary replaced some boards. There was a place in the roof. I think, go to the next one, Deb. I think you could tell from the back. Yeah, maybe a little bit. I think that might be the last one. Go ahead, one more. But there's a place on the roof of this one where the roof, when they pulled off the soffit, the roof was really falling down. And there happened to be a roofer in the neighborhood one day, and so Gary went over and talked to him, and he came over free of charge and just kind of patched it up a little bit and was impressed with what we were doing. And so it was a great experience. Val, you got any insight from the week other than just... Yeah, we try to do, you know, a little bit of those smaller things that we can do. Yeah, the Shivington family, the kids all came out. Oh, really? Yeah, it's something else that happens sometimes, and I don't think the Shivingtons know this, but I don't know that it's for sure, but I know that Spring Road, their members at Spring Road, at Spring Road Church of Christ, they're talking to about possibly helping them get their roof replaced as well. And so it just, and that happens sometimes where you see somebody going this far and if somebody else can kind of pick up and help out there. And the way it just kind of bolsters neighborhood pride, and we see it every neighborhood we go to, which is exciting. This house right here was number 3. Was anybody on that one? Elizabeth was on this one. This was a beast, wasn't it? Elizabeth was a beast. She can outwork. Samuel's not here, so we can tell him. She can run circles around Samuel, man. Check that one out, man. It was dramatically different. This is down on Peters Avenue off of 5th and 71. It's funny because they put the... If you use red paint very much, red usually goes on really pink. And so they put like two coats on, or, you know, they brushed it out on the house for a minute, and I start getting pictures. Are you sure that this is what they want? I said, oh, just, and we had done one that was a little pink, but there's a couple more pictures of this. This was dramatic. Tom Peterson from Kokomo was their crew leader. Go ahead, Devin, flip this one. It's kind of hard to see. This is one Greg had over there and killed some of the poison ivy, which didn't work, by the way. They got poison ivy really bad, even after all that. but yeah, this one turned out great. Elizabeth, you got any good stories from the week? All right, never mind. We'll carry it. Okay. Yeah, so they're painting the very top dormer, which are always the toughest part of the house, right? Come to work camp, you could fall off a ladder. Yeah, it was a scary moment there for a little while. We're always really careful about, and we talked to him initially, and that was one of the parts of the house we talked to him about, because we knew that was going to be one of the more challenging. So, but they did a great job. If you were around on Friday, you know that it started raining a couple times during the day, and we got some kind of rain outs, and so we had to deal with that, but they knocked it out. I think, Deb, is there maybe one more picture? Yeah, there's the backside of it. So actually, we picked the ladders up from there yesterday morning. A guy was walking by and we talked to him for a little while. He's like, man, that looks great. You guys did a great job. Those are kids too. You guys did that with kids. So, all right, let's go to the next one. This before we do this one, because I don't have pictures of the one that Ben was on either, number 1. Okay. So Ben, was anybody else on that with Ben, number 1? Oh, Ty, that's right, you guys are on that. So tell us about, that's on Miller Avenue, 670 Miller Avenue. It's right off of the interstate. So you guys hear the hum of 670. How was that house, Ben? So Ben, this is like, what did we decide? This is your 10th year? So after you've spent enough time, you get the big ones. And that was a huge one. Actually, we didn't even get the very top of the back because it was just too high. We couldn't safely get up there. But everything else looks amazing. Nobody died. So one of our crew leaders for the last several years has been David Miller, who's a fireman down in Cincinnati, and so I always give him the really tall houses. I figure if anybody knows anything about ladders, he can get it done. So, go ahead. I showed up, the first day I went there, she was like on a 7-foot ladder with like her arm around the gutter. She's in her 60s, arm around the gutter, scraping like this. It was like crazy. Yeah, her and her son, they love work camp and they want to be a part of it in the future. And so they have a big house that she grew up in, 3-story house. With squirrels all over in it, it was interesting. So, Ty, you got any great memory? You were up on those big ladders, right? That's all you got to say? Okay, thanks. Oh my goodness, yeah, he came over. What day did he do that? Is that Wednesday? They brought us some chicken wings that they had for lunch. I mean, he made like 150 wings for them. They were unbelievable. You know, we talk about communion and, you know, eating together and coming together. I mean, that's a great time when we get to do that on the job sites. Some of you, Chris, did you guys got, she brought you something, didn't she? Some water and some donuts, that's right. Yeah. So just, and of course we get together on Thursday nights and have our banquet and eat together, so. Pretty amazing. You see now pictures of what's probably the most dramatic of all of them, though. This one certainly garnered the most attention. Debbie's going to flip through a couple more of those. This was just drastic. All that black stuff up in the right corner was moss, because the gutter system was messed up. But the way that it looks afterward is just amazing. And then they painted that fence white. It had never been painted before. And so... They had to put a lot of paint on the last 2 days. They had a long way to go. But when I pulled up, I think this is the last one here. Look at how it looks from the street. It's just amazing. And there was all this intricate brickwork, but it was all painted the same color, so you really couldn't appreciate it. So we took it and painted it white. And they were right on a corner. Who was on this one? Samuel was on that. Clark worked on it for a little bit. Dalton was over there for a little bit. I mean, we had... Who? Emily, yeah, you were over there too, right? So you guys did a little bit on the fence. I mean, on Thursday and Friday, we probably had 30 people painting this house. They looked like ants on a sugar cube. I mean, they were just all over. It was amazing. Because Wednesday, we were like, I'll forget it's done. And we were like, man, we got so many people, we'll just start sending them over. And the crew leaders did an amazing job of just kind of making sure that they got them. I talked last week about some of the funding we had gotten from the Franklin County Environmental Court. The judge came by one day. I got to talk to him and the bailiff and a couple other people in his office. They actually sent a dump truck out on Friday, and they got to... Did you guys get to do any of that? Emily, were you there when they were moving stuff into the dump truck? What's the deal, man? Come on. But yeah, they sent out the dump truck the next day. And so it was just a really neat... I had two people stop and want to know how to get their kids involved in this program. We just had lots and lots of people coming, but that's kind of a little bit of an overview of the week. I don't want to belabor it, but I want you all to I know you all feel like this is a big deal, and there was the vast majority of you who found a way to be part of it, and whether you were able to come out and work on a site, or whether you were able to pack lunch or deliver lunch or whatever part you might have played, even if you weren't here, this was something that we did as a church. This is a ministry of ours. We should be proud of what we've done. Continue to just give a hand to everybody who did it. I think, Kristen. I mean, you know how many sandwiches you packed every day, Mary Beth? About 150 sandwiches every single day going out. And if, when you're on the job sites and you just can see, you know, about 10:30, 11, 11:30, people are starting to really get hungry and really need that kind of energy. And it takes a lot of people to... Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. So it takes a lot of people to make this happen, and you've all played a role in it. Hope Richardson's working on getting on a ladder next year, maybe. We'll see. You know, sometimes you can't help physically, but there's a lot of different things you can do, and I know that this whole week has been bathed in a lot of prayer, and, you know, it was a really real week this week with some of the things that happened in the neighborhoods. It was really close. When you get a text message alert saying that there's a shooting on one of the roads that you're on, and you recognize the intersection is really, really close to where you were. There was another shooting just a few blocks from where we were yesterday picking up ladders. And one of the things, you know, us in the suburbs may think sometimes is, you know, we're going into this dark parts of the city and, you know, it's another world. Man, there are people live there. There, you know, people are like, well, I can't believe you bring the kids there. Man, there's kids there. There's kids everywhere. This is life for some of them. And it's a benefit and a blessing for us to be able to spend a little bit of time with them. And so we've tried to do that. So in whatever way we're able to, we try to connect this whole week and the things that we've done into some of the prophetic words that we're getting from the prophet Amos. And we're going to continue on the next couple weeks. If you haven't had a chance to read the book, it's only 9 chapters long. So spend some time in that this week. And if you get a chance and you weren't able to maybe be as directly involved in work camp as you'd like to or were able to, maybe find somebody who you heard share this morning and just tell them thanks for what they did, because I told them all when we started the week, if they weren't here, if each specific person wasn't here, we wouldn't have been able to do the scope of things that we were able to do. You know, it's unfortunate it's only 1 week, as we were talking about in the collection. Wish we could do more. Wish we could, you know, and we'll continue to take steps forward and broaden our ministry. But for now, we just pat ourselves on the back and thank God for the blessing that this week was, and for the blessing of safety and everything that we were able to accomplish. The best way to celebrate is to eat. So we'll do that after our classes. And they're starving at night, that helps a little bit of gratitude. I'm so hungry, thank you. They wouldn't let us eat. No, there we just a lot of people and things to be thankful for. So we're going to close out this morning, and I'd invite praise team can come.